It is good to be in God's house this morning. It's good to see each of you here. This morning we're going to look at Jonah and us. And I kind of struggle back and forth exactly how to title this. I don't want us to just look at Jonah. I want us to try and see Jonah. The children, young people. We have a class back there, and we'll dismiss you now to your class. I'm sure you don't want to listen to my caterwauling. I want us to look at Jonah in comparison to our own lives. Jonah is one of those characters in the Bible that we have heard about since we were little children. And it seems that a lot of us kind of skim over. I know that I have been guilty of that. I know Jonah, kind of know the narrative, the being swallowed by a whale or a big fish or something of that sort. I've heard that since I was a child, and a lot of people dismiss that. And I want to say or ask the question, was Jonah literally swallowed by a whale or a big fish? That seems too incredible to believe, doesn't it? Just like, yeah, you'd drown. That's not possible. I don't know if I really believe that. Well, let me ask you this. Back in, I think it was 1968, 69, a group of men, small group of men, got in a little metal sphere that they put on top of a missile, and they shot that missile to the moon. And those men were able to unhook from that missile and fly that over and land on the moon, get out and walk around, take some pictures, and then get back in that little capsule and fly it back and somehow reconnect with what was left of that missile and fly it back to Earth. And if that isn't incredible enough, we learn now that most of the major mathematical calculations were done by a middle-aged woman in the back room. Do we believe that? Yeah, I do. As incredible as that may sound, I believe that. Looking at the narrative of Jonah and the whale, that's not terribly hard to believe. It's not near as difficult to believe as the notion that we've landed on the moon physically. Both of them really happened. But Jonah's much more than that. I think we get lost in that sometimes and we forget the rest of the story, the rest of the narrative. And so that's kind of what I want us to look at this morning. We're reading from the book of Jonah, at least we're beginning, in Jonah chapter 1, verses 1 and 2. Now the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the son of Amittai, saying, Arise, go to Nineveh, that great city, and cry against it, for their wickedness is come up before me. That is printed on the back of your bulletin, or if you'd like to read that in your Bible. So who is Jonah? Who was this person? Jonah was the fifth of the 12 minor prophets. We call them minor prophets because their books, their record was not terribly long. It's just four chapters. He was the fifth of the minor prophets. Some scholars believe that he was the Jonah mentioned in 2 Kings 14:25, who prophesied around 785 B.C. But even more than that, the entire book of Jonah is read in the original Hebrew on celebrations for Yom Kippur, which is a Jewish holiday. In fact, it is the holiest of all Jewish holidays. Jonah is a saint, or recognized as a saint by the Roman Catholic Church and by some other Protestant churches, and he has a feast day. Yom Kippur is the third week of September this year, and he is also recognized in feast days of that time in some other Protestant churches. We don't recognize the feast of Jonah. We're certainly not Jewish and we're not Catholic, but it's important for us to understand Jonah was a somebody. He was a big deal. It is not a minor thing. The works of Jonah are important in Western civilization and in our Christian heritage. So it's important, I think, for us to break down exactly who Jonah was. Jesus recognized him, and Jesus said, when asked for a sign, Jesus said, I won't give you any sign except for the sign of Jonah, or Jonas, who was 3 days in the belly of the whale, and so shall the Son of Man be 3 days in the earth. But, laying all of that aside, until the word of the Lord, and that is our very first verse, the word of the Lord came to Jonah, until that happened, Jonah was a nobody. He was not someone that anyone would have paid a great deal of attention to. If God had not called Jonah for a specific mission, that is to go to the city of Nineveh, we would not know his name. He would have lived his life and passed from this earth without accomplishing anything of any great importance. Job 14, 1-2, and this is one of those verses that I like to paraphrase in my own words. Job 14, 1-2 says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. He come forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow and continueth not. And my paraphrase of that is life short, hard, and then you die. That's kind of what it is here on this earth, right? Mankind, just the physical person, we have short lives. There's a lot of stuff going on. There's a lot of trouble going on. And then we die. And I think for Jonah, life was exactly that way. He was a nobody. And the only thing that made Jonah different, special, if you will, exceptional, was that God called him. Now, the title of the sermon is Jonah and Us. And so, relating that to us, you and I are nobodies until God calls us. Perhaps me more than most of you. I was a redneck kid in the woods in western Arkansas, a genuine nobody. If you had gone to my high school class and taken a poll and said, y'all vote for the person least likely to succeed, that would have been me. I was not anything that anyone would pay attention to. And had God not called me to preach, I would still be that same kid, older obviously, in the hills in Arkansas. The only value that I have seen in my life is that God called me to do something specific, and in being obedient to that call, He has given me more blessings than I could ever count or imagine. When I look at my family, when I look at my children and my grandchildren, when I see all of you, all of the things that have happened in my life that are good have been simply because God called me to do something and I was obedient. This last week, I was sitting on the back porch. It was so hot outside you couldn't go outside for fear you'd melt, seemed like, literally. And so I'm sitting on the back porch watching the birds come up and feed, and I got to thinking about the people that I have known and that I've had the privilege to work with in Christianity over these last nearly 50 years now that I have been a Christian. And there are so many of them, and there are so many that have gone on that I have loved so dearly and that had an impact on my life. I could go through the names and be here the rest of my time. You don't know them, and I understand that. But they were people that at specific points in my life I needed so badly. And God put them right there in my path. And it was fantastic. They did so much to help me. And that never would have happened. Those people would not have been there had I not received a call from God. I was nobody until God called me. Recently, Cody and I went down to the city offices to give you an example of how I'm still a nobody. And we walked into the city offices working on a real estate thing, and we needed a map of the sewer system of Sherman just to see how far it was to sewer lines. And so we go in there, and, you know, I'm dressed up, work day. I walked in there boldly to the secretary, the clerical person, and I said, I need a current map of the city of Sherman sewer system. And she said, and who are you? Well, that kind of took me aback. I'm a citizen, I'm a taxpayer, I'm a resident, I don't know. She said, well, we can't just give you information like that for security purposes. I guess they're afraid I'll blow up the sewer system. I'm not sure. I never did get it, but I was summarily dismissed by a clerk that just said, yeah, you're a nobody, and we're not giving you a map of anything. And you know what? She was right. I am a nobody. I'm not a mayor. I'm not a council member. I'm not a wealthy developer. I'm not a mover and shaker. I'm a nobody. But God called this nobody to do something very specific, to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. And that makes me a somebody. Amen? That's nothing wrong with that. If we look at other characters in the Bible, like Jonah, Abram was a nobody. He was basically a goat herder on the backside of the desert. And God called him and said, I want you to follow me. Do what I tell you to do, and I will make of you a mighty nation. King David was the same way. He was a nobody. He was a shepherd boy. He was nothing until God called him to be responsible and to become the king, and became the greatest king in the history of Israel. Moses was a murderer and was on the backside of the desert tending his father-in-law's sheep. You won't talk about being a nobody when you're on the backside of the desert. I've never been to the desert in that part of the world, but I guess it has a backside. When you're back there in the worst part of the desert and you're taking care of not your sheep, your father-in-law's sheep, you're a nobody. And God called him and said, I want you to go to the most powerful king in the world, and I want you to demand that he let my people go. And Moses became a somebody. The fact that God called him made him a very important person. Another thing, though, sometimes I think we miss about Jonah. He was incredibly blessed. He was blessed because God called him. It's difficult for me to wrap my mind around this, but can you imagine having the God of the universe specifically call you as a person? And that's what he did with Jonah. The word of the Lord came to Jonah. I don't know what that looks like. If it was a thundering voice out of the clouds, if it was a small, still voice, I don't know what it was. But God himself spoke to Jonah. And that made Jonah an extremely blessed person, a somebody, a person of value. Okay? You and I again. Yes, we may all be nobodies to this world. And I know, and it's the case with all of us, when we leave this world, when we die, there may be a few people shed tears at our funeral. Probably not for very long, though. They'll go back to work. They'll go back to their lives. 99.999% of this world will not even notice when I leave, and they won't notice when you leave. To this world, we're unimportant people, but we are important because God has called us. God is calling you. God is calling you. I think we miss that with all of the noise that's going on in life, but God is calling each of us. There are no accidents. We are in this church. We are in this way together intentionally and on purpose because there are no accidents. God has called us to be here. God has given us this tremendous blessing. I don't know your specific call. I don't know exactly what God is wanting you to do, but I do believe with all my heart God has called you. Maybe He's called you to take care of an elderly person in your community that needs you. Maybe He's called you to take care of a child. Let me tell you something, and I believe this with all my heart. There is no more important job than being a parent. And I applaud the people who literally are parents. And I'm going to say this also. It is one thing to biologically bring a child into this world. It is a much different thing to be a parent, to be involved in their life, to love them, to teach them about Jesus, to bring them to church. God has called people for that. God has called people to be in business, to be business people, to work with others and to deal with their issues and their problems on a basis that other people can't. Sometimes it is a great calling for God to do whatever it is you do for a living. Don't think of it as just a job. Think of it as a calling. Think of it as God has put me in this place to do this thing, to be an influence to other people, to meet a need that He is wanting. Jonah was called to go to the city of Nineveh. Nineveh is a big city, not a small task. I believe the Bible records it as either 3 or 4 day journey just to get through the city. And in one place he said there are 60,000 people. If you do the math, that's 120,000 people. It's a big city, especially for that time. And they were a wicked city. Their wickedness had come up before God. Can you imagine saying, okay, I'm going to go to this city and I'm going to be the spokesman for God Himself and I'm going to tell them that the way they're living and what they're doing is wrong? That's what God called him to do. That's an amazing call. But we all have a call. Jonah attempted to flee from the presence of God. Chapter 1, verse 3. After receiving a call, says, "But Jonah rose up to flee unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord, and went down to Joppa, and he found a ship going to Tarshish. So he paid the fare thereof, and went down in it to go with them unto Tarshish from the presence of the Lord." We're not told why he fled. Maybe he was afraid. Maybe he thought, I'll go over there, and these people, they're not going to like me, and they're probably going to kill me, and I don't want to do that. Maybe he just didn't like the people. You know, one of the things that we always think of is we think God's going to call us to go and minister to the people that we just really love. And He may not do that. He may ask you to go talk to some people or go minister to some people that you don't like at all. Now, I'm fortunate in this regard. Again, I love my church members, and I mean that just honestly as I can be. I love the people of this church. I've been in those churches when they were not easy to love. And I'm sorry, they're out there. I've been in those churches where there was always, always a fight going on. Always some bitterness, always some anger, always some trouble. I've been in those churches where you had a board or a group of people that seemed like always against you. In fact, Becky and I went to a church one time, and which kind of what we've always done, we were kind of all in. I sold what assets I had, and I bought equipment, and I bought a 1,000-acre rice farm. And the reason I did that is the church I was pastoring was right there in the middle of it, and everybody there was rice farmers. So we farmed with them. We're going to be right in the middle of them. We're going to get involved with them. And I found out after a year or so they didn't really like me. I think some of them liked me okay, except one of their relatives wanted to come back and pastor the church, so it began, how can we get rid of him so we can get Uncle so-and-so back? And that hurt. That hurt really bad. You know, God called me to go there. And it wasn't to go to a place where everybody was going to be smiling and happy and supportive and everything loving, etc., etc. But still, God called me to go there. And so we went. What I'm saying is that God calls you, and it may not be what you want to do. I love something I heard Colt say. I've heard other people say it also, but I'll give him the credit. He said, don't follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. We hear people say, oh, just follow your heart and everything will be all right. Don't do that. The heart is extremely wicked. The heart is deceptive. If you follow your heart, you may marry this person that you love, and then next month, my heart says, I want this one over here. Don't do that. You do what God calls you to do. You listen, you be receptive, and you do what God has called you to do, whether it's pleasant or whether it's unpleasant. Jonah fled from the presence of God, and I don't know his rationale. I don't know his thinking. I guess he thought that God didn't reside in Tarshish, because he said, I'm going to flee to there to get away from God. I think he learned a little later, God is everywhere. From the tops of the mountains to the bottoms of the ocean to everywhere, God is there. I can't flee God. I cannot. I can spend my entire life trying to, and I can't do it. If God is calling you to do something, you will never be happy until you're doing it. Let's say that again and think about it for just a moment. If you are called by God to do something, you can never be happy until you're doing it. Jonah attempted to run, and he made everyone around him miserable. I think a lot of the problem and a lot of the evil in our world today is because people, some of them are fleeing from God and they're making everyone around them miserable. God is calling you, just as he did Jonah, and if you will be obedient and responsive to that call, if you will pray and ask God, what do you want me to do? I think sometimes when we pray, and I'm as guilty of this as anyone, I get on my knees and I have my latest calls, you know. Lord, please help me with this. Lord, please help with that, whatever it may be. But real prayer, the real way to do prayer is to get on your knees, separate everything else, get all of the distractions and all of the stuff that's going on, try to get it aside, get alone and get away from all that stuff, and simply pray, God, what do you want me to do? It doesn't matter about the other stuff. If you find what God wants you to do and you do it, he'll take care of everything else. It won't be a problem. You don't need to pray, Lord, help me pay my bills. That's a valid thing. I always want to pay my bills. You know, in the Lord's Prayer, it says, give us this day our daily bread. I understand. But greater than that, if you will pray sincerely and regularly, Lord, show me what you want me to do and give me the faith and grace to do it. I promise you, all of this other stuff will be taken care of. It won't be a problem. God owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He owns everything. It all belongs to him. If I get in his will, he'll take care of everything. My needs, my health, my money, everything in my life will straighten up. Are you fleeing from the presence of God? It can be a scary thing to answer the call of God, and it may take you out of your comfort zone. God may ask you to do some things you don't want to do. We don't like to be embarrassed, and we have kind of a comfort zone where we feel comfortable doing this or that, and we don't like to leave that. But if you honestly pray, Lord, what do you want me to do? Don't be surprised if you end up doing something that you're not real comfortable doing. God will call you out of your comfort zone at times. And when you ask God what you want Him, what He wants you to do, it may not be some great, extravagant, miraculous thing. It may be something very simple. He may answer, I want you to help someone out financially. I want you to make a meal for somebody. I want you to just call someone and give them encouragement. It may be a very minor thing, but let me tell you something. If you do those minor things, if you will be obedient to God in minor things, He will give you bigger things. But if you're not willing, if you're not willing to be obedient to God in the little things, why would He give you a big thing? When we ask God for His direction, and when we want to be obedient to His will, we need to be obedient in the small things. It is foolish to believe that you can flee from God. You know, becoming a Christian is not just accepting Christ as though it were some certificate to frame and hang on your wall, or a trophy to take home and put on your mantle. Becoming a Christian is literally hearing the call of God and answering it. I think for a long time, I've heard all my life, people would say, will you accept Jesus? And that sounds really easy. Sure, I'll accept Jesus. You know, give me the certificate, I'll go put it on the wall, and I've accepted Jesus. Great. That's not being a Christian. Being a Christian is to say, Lord, what do you want me to do? Where do you want me to go? Who do you want me to talk to? What do you want me to do for a living? Where do you want me to spend my time? Where do you want me to be an influence? If you'll do those things, God will tell you. And then you're a Christian. He said to those Jews which believed, He said, if you continue, if you follow me and do what I ask, then are you my disciples indeed, and you'll know the truth, and the truth will make you free. You and I are called. And so this morning I'm going to leave you with a simple question. Have you been called that you know of? Do you know what God wants you to do? And are you running toward it, or are you running away from it? You're the only one that can answer that. But I promise you, if you will answer God's call, you'll say, Lord, here am I. Take me, use me, whatever you want me to do. I love the gospel song, I'll say yes, Lord, yes. It says, I'll say yes, Lord, yes, to your will and to your way. I will trust you and obey. When your spirit speaks to me, with my whole heart I'll agree. And my answer will be, yes, Lord, yes. If our musicians will come this morning, if you believe that God is calling you for any reason and you'd like to come to the altar and pray about it, I'll be down there and meet you, and we will get on our knees before God.